This is the Unconquered Podcast. Unbiased, unrivaled, and unconquered coverage and analysis of Florida State football.
If Florida State,
we won national championships and ACC championships.
It's caught! Touchdown official, Kelvin Benjamin!
Back to some basics, consistency in what we're doing. Guys getting a little banged and bruised, working a bunch of different situations, making progress.
You have to have success so you know something I can really do this.
Game over! Those are the champions of college football!
Jameis, why? Jameis, no! No! No!
Welcome to the Unconquered Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Staples. Joining me after a long hiatus is Wayne McGahee III. Trey, good to have you with us again after quite an interesting season.
It's definitely been one for the books. Definitely going to cause me to have heart problems sometime down the road.
I think this season has taken a lot of years off of a lot of lives, so should be interesting to see whether that trend continues in the Rose Bowl, which will be the subject of today's conversation. So let's go ahead and get started. So if we're going to talk then, I think the first place to start is to evaluate from the Florida State side what our concerns would be if we were on the Florida State coaching staff. Let's start on the defensive side. Obviously, Oregon has one of the top offenses in the country. According to F+, they've got the second most efficient offense in the country, just behind Georgia Tech. Obviously, a different kind of offense and one that puts stresses on you in different ways, although there are some similarities. At any rate, if you're Charles Kelly, what is keeping you up at night coming into this game? And you know, we'll talk a little bit about that on both sides.
It's got to be Florida State setting the edge. Like you said, this is one of the best offenses in the country, and they spread you out. They run sideline, and Florida State's had trouble setting the edge this season. I mean, you've got Mario Lynch Jr., who is he's good enough to lock down a side. But you also, I mean, you have to worry about wide receivers, corners getting off their blocks from the wide receivers,
and that's actually something that Charles Kelly mentioned today in interviews, is how well their receivers block and how physical they are, and how that's going to be something that the Florida State defensive backs are going to have to be very conscious of, is being able to get off blocks on the edge, because that's a real problem for teams that have played Oregon so far. So keep going.
It's been a real problem for Ronald Darby, one of Florida State's starting cornerbacks. If they manage to isolate Ronald Darby on, you know, the one side without, you know, by himself with the one side without Mario Edwards, you could see potentially long runs to that side, because Florida State isn't going to be able to get that edge more than likely, and then you have Darby who's not going to be able to get off his blocks. So, if I'm Charles Kelly, that's what I've been focused on for the past 30 days preparing up to this.
Yeah, and I do think, you know, you could see different points in the season, DeMarcus Walker and Featherston, and then Chris Casher having some difficulty with contain, particularly against the running game. Not so much against running quarterbacks. They've actually done a pretty good job keeping quarterbacks in the pocket, which is something that they're really going to have to do in this case against Mariota, who does such a great job getting to the edge as a passer and then making plays. Not so much, you know, it's not his feet as a scrambler that bother you in the running game as much. I mean, he can hurt you there. Where he can really hurt you is getting on the edge and then throwing downfield. He does a great job with that, and that's something, you know, obviously would be keeping me up at night. The other thing that would really, really bug me if I were Charles Kelly is their ability to get vertical, to get free vertical routes downfield. You watch most of Mariota's touchdowns this year. Their throws to somebody who has no one within 5 yards of him, because they're in a bunch set, they're in, you know, a twin set that's stacked, and, you know, they find ways of releasing to rub a guy off of off of the coverage, and, you know, put you into a bad matchup situation where you're trailing a receiver running wide open downfield. And, you know, it happens to everyone. It's bound to happen at least once, if not more, to the Florida State defense as well. And that's something you just have to try to minimize. And you have to make sure that your safeties are in a position where they stay deeper than the deepest, so that, you know, when it happens, they can be there to make a tackle and limit it to, you know, a 30 or 40 yard play instead of a score, and that's what makes it so difficult. One of the things that makes it so difficult facing a team like Oregon. So you know that would be my big concern. Now flip over to the other side of the of this matchup. What do you see as the biggest potential pitfall for Florida State's offense coming into this game versus the Oregon defense? What do they do that you've seen that you see would be a potential problem for the Florida State offense?
You know, there's not much there that I see. I'm straight up honest. There's not much there. If anything, if we're going to talk about it, they're very patient. They're going to make Jameis make throws where he thinks something's open and it's not. They're going to try and make him make mistakes. So, I mean, that's been a concern all season. Jameis has been a bit careless with the football. There have been a lot of picks that weren't on him, but he has been a bit careless, and I think that's a real concern.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually a little bit less concerned about that. I think there are a couple things that actually I see on tape that they can do to give Florida State some trouble. One is the length of their defensive ends. I mean, they're 6'7", 6'8". And from what I saw here, on Media Day, I think that those numbers are legitimate. Although I think that a number of their other numbers are perhaps a little inflated, but I think their defensive ends are legit big and really long, longer than Florida State has played on the edge so far. This is the first game where Rod Johnson has not had a pretty significant length advantage over the guys that he's going to be going against on the edge. And Florida State likes to run a lot of outside zone, and that's something where that kind of length allows those guys to get some leverage and potentially take away some cutback lanes and to be able to set the edge better than other teams that Florida State's played so far this year. So that's a concern about how they could potentially limit Florida State's ability to run to the outside, depending on how they match up with Florida State's tackles. So I think that's one thing they can do. I don't know that there's a whole lot else that they do on defense that really worries me, if I'm thinking from the Florida State offensive side. Now, let's go ahead and flip then to the second segment here, and let's talk about what if you're on the Oregon side, what's keeping you up at night from the Oregon offense facing the Florida State defense? What might the Florida State defense be able to do that the Oregon offense would have some trouble with?
I think it comes down to this is the best secondary that Oregon has faced. I know there's a very good corner on Michigan State, arguably the best corner in the country. I mean, we've had this discussion in private, but as a whole, this secondary is the best that they will face. I also think that, up the middle, Mariota has trouble when he's pressured up the middle, when it's coming right at him. If it comes from the sides, he knows what to do. But if it's right at him, sometimes he panics. And that was evidenced in the Arizona loss that they had. So I think that if Florida State can get pressure with the addition of Nile Lawrence-Stample for, 15 snaps.
And I was actually told today that, we should probably expect him to get maybe 25 or even more snaps in this game, which is absolutely huge.
It would be incredible considering, torn pectorals aren't easy to come back from.
Yeah, it's usually an 8-month recovery. He's back in just over 3. So, deer antler spray, man. Deer antler spray.
But if Florida State can get that pressure, which I think that they can, and put it in his face, Mariota will make mistakes, especially when considering that he will have open guys to throw to. I mean, that's the Oregon offense. That's what they're going to do. They're going to give him schemed open. But there aren't going to be as many as he's used to. And if they can get in his face, cause him to panic a little bit, you could see him make mistakes.
Yeah, one of the interesting things about Mariota is that, the mistakes he makes, he doesn't tend to make many mistakes throwing down the field. He's got 2 interceptions on the year, although he had three dropped interceptions in the first quarter and a half against Arizona in the Pac-12 championship game. If you look at his numbers, he's got a pretty low number. I think it's 33 passes defensed on the year, which is ridiculously low for a quarterback. So he hasn't made a whole lot of bad decisions. But only 6% of those have been intercepted. The average is about 23%. So, he's definitely benefited from some stone-handed guys in the secondary. But even at that, he's not likely to throw a whole lot of interceptions. But the one thing that he has done in the past is fumble the football. And if you can get pressure on him and make him unsteady and unstable and hit him a little bit, you know, he's shown a tendency to drop the football. And to, you know, he's got 3 lost fumbles on the year. That's 3 lost fumbles. So that tells you something there in terms of, you know, what a little bit of pressure from the interior, being able to compress the pocket, which is something FSU, you know, they don't have a lot of sacks, but they have been able to compress the pocket a little bit. And with Lawrence Stample, you know, and also Goldman getting healthy over this break, I think that they may be able to do a little bit of that. I do think that's probably the biggest edge Florida State has on that side of the ball is actually on the interior. They do a lot of angle blocking and shield blocking and, you know, a lot of veer type concepts really in terms of how they approach this with their zone stuff. But they run more power this year than they've run in the past, and that's almost been their bread and butter with Royce Freeman on the field. And I think that that's going to be something they're going to have some trouble running against Florida State. And in a lot of respects, their offense, they've run a lot of things that are more similar to what Florida State saw from Oklahoma State in the first game. I think Florida State, by and large, did a pretty good job defending Oklahoma State in that first game against a team that actually their running back was the fastest player, arguably, in the country. If it's not Kermit Whitfield, it certainly was Tyreek Hill. So, you know, that who was, as Florida State fans know, heavily recruited by Florida State. And obviously at this point, given the domestic violence dispute or domestic violence charge that he has, I'm sure that every Florida State fan in the country is very happy that he decided to go to Oklahoma State. So at any rate, I think that you're right there. I think the other thing that Florida State, you know, can do that could potentially give Oregon some trouble is you know they can two gap some in the running game, and I think it's going to be difficult for Oregon to just run downhill the way that they've done that most of the year, and I think Florida State will be able to take away their sort of A and B options in the running game a little bit more than most of the teams that they've played because of Florida State's size, and as Florida State's linebackers are a little healthier, I think that's going to be a factor. At any rate, let's move then to the other side of the football and talk about what advantages Florida State has offensively against the Oregon defense. And, you know, from your first answer, I think we're on the same page that it's pretty much across the board. But what sticks out to you most?
Well, what sticks out to me most is the interior of Florida State's offensive line against the interior of their defensive line. We talked about how long and lanky and athletic their defensive ends were and how Roderick Johnson hasn't gone up against a guy with this size before. But on the interior with Cam Irving, Matias, and Trey Jackson, who was consensus All-American, you have size, you have athleticism, you have 3 guys that are going to go in the first 2 rounds of the NFL draft come
or April. 3 at worst, I'd say.
Yes. I mean, you could see at least 2. I don't think you'll see all 3 go in the first round, but I think you could see 2.
I think all 3 will go in the first 3 rounds at least. I'm not sure about first 2, but first 3 rounds I think is probably a pretty good bet. But at any rate, I agree. I think that that's the biggest mismatch. I mean, when I was standing next to the Oregon nose tackle Balducci here on media day, I was struck by how physically unimposing he was. And if this defense had a dominant nose tackle, if they had a Halali Nada or somebody like that on this roster, you know, a Timmy Jernigan or somebody, or even a Niall Lawrence Stample, that kind of guy, then this would be one of the best defenses in the country. But I think they're going to have an extremely difficult time defending Florida State's interior 3 in the running game. You know, Cam Irving is a beast. He's a monster at that center position, and he can single block most nose tackles, and I think he'll be able to single block basically anybody that they put over him, and both guards can single block basically anybody that they put over them in this game. So I think they're going to have to try to play around a lot with games and stunts and things like that on the defensive line to try to confuse or mix up the Florida State offensive line. Because if they try to play straight up, which they've done a lot of this year, if they try to play straight up against this offensive line, I think they're going to get pushed around. I think you're going to see the Florida State offensive line getting to the second level, getting to the inside linebackers, getting to cut off those angles and getting Dalvin Cook and Carlos Williams to the second level with a head of steam on that interior. And it's something, if I'm Florida State, I'm looking at, instead of running as much outside zone, I'm looking at running inside zone and power a little bit and you know, straight downhill against this defensive front to be able to benefit from that size advantage and that athleticism advantage inside. And that's something, you know, I was talking to Bryant McFadden a little bit ago here at the media hotel. And you know, he was, you know, shaking his head saying, man, you know, the real question in this game, you know, basically it boils down to if Jimbo can be as patient enough to just run the football with what he, you know, BMAC was saying, you know, they got a couple basketball players at end and then, you know, they're soft in the middle. And again, Balducci to me reminded me physically of a Bud Thacker kind of guy. You know, looked more along those lines than a Timmy Jernigan type. You know, but BMAC was saying, you know, if he can just decide to stick with the run, they could potentially run for 5-6 yards a carry all game. And, you know, force Oregon to defend that. And it's just a matter of patience. So, you know, I think that's the biggest edge. I think that they're also going to have trouble with Nick O'Leary as well. They've not covered tight ends especially well. But I think that there's edge there, that edge in the interior is where it all starts for Florida State's offense. And, you know, I don't think they're going to be able to get a lot of pressure on Winston either. And if Florida State's able to run the football and protect Winston, you know, on play action and such, that's going to be very difficult to hold that Florida State offense down. So let's then move now to the third component here. And let's talk about what we see as the key to the game on each side of the ball. So, you know, you go ahead and start. What do you see as the key for Florida State's defense facing the Oregon offense?
I think that Florida State needs to focus on one thing. Yeah, it would be nice to get, you know, some turnovers, but Oregon has done a very good job of, you know, keeping the ball, and so I think Florida State needs to end every Florida State defense needs to end every drive with a kick, be it a punt or a field goal. Keep it 3, not 7. You know, Oregon is a very good offense. I mean, we've stated it. It's for anybody who knows football, you can see it. It's a very good college football offense. But if
it's working Florida pretty State, well in the pros for Kelly as well.
That's very true. If Florida State can limit, say, 2 to 3 drives to field goals instead of touchdowns, that makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I think that's a big, big factor. And, you know, Florida State being the bigger team, I think in the red zone has a little bit of an edge, being as big and long as they are with Oregon. You know, one of the things that you know, we mentioned earlier, Oregon is able to get free releases so often. You know, this is something that to me, Oregon, it would terrify me. It would keep me up at night if I were Charles Kelly. Oregon's ability to use stack alignments, to use bunch formations and all these things, and then vary releases to get to rub off defenders and get guys vertical with nobody around them. I mean, you watch Mariota's touchdowns on the year. And the vast majority of them are throws where there's nobody within 5 yards of the guy who's catching the football. And so the thing is, the way that Oregon does things is that they're going to put so much pressure on you with some of this vertical stuff and force you to defend the whole field that they're going to get free releases at times. They're going to get guys downfield. They're going to get, you know, they're going to have guys running open on verticals. The thing that Florida State has to do is make sure that those don't turn into touchdowns. Stop those for a 30 or 40 yard gain, you know, for 25 yards, you know, that sort of thing. They're going to get plays in the running game. You got to stop that for, you know, for 20 yards instead of, or 15 yards, 10 yards, you know, give up 10 instead of 50. And you know, that's where you've got to, you know, the safety play in this game and the ability to make sure that you keep deeper than the deepest and maintain good angles is going to be really critical. But I think actually the biggest key is going to be whether or not the Florida State can win first down. Oregon's offense is not the kind of offense that really does well when they just drop back and throw the football because they have to on long yardage. You know, Mariota's a tremendous quarterback, but they're not as comfortable as an offense. And no offense is, but they're not built for it. They are not built for longer yardage. That what they like to do, what they count on, is the ability to put pressure, especially on your linebackers and safeties, to have to honor the inside run. They're gonna run it downhill at you, and this is something that, you know, Charles Kelly emphasized in his press conference today on how physical a running team they are. They run power very well. They do a lot of that stuff. They're gonna try to run downhill on you, and then and let that be the base. And off of that, they're gonna hit the edges on the bubbles, things like that, and force you to defend that interior, to commit linebackers and extra personnel to stopping the run inside. Then they're going to try to make you run horizontally and to defend that. And then they're going to get that guy running free down the vertical and score on that big play. Well, the thing that you've got to do is you've got to be able to stop them. You've got to be able to stop them on first down to limit how much they can get on first down runs. So, you know, if you can limit their inside zone, if you could limit their power, which has become more of a base play for them this year, the power O, if you can limit those plays to, you know, if you can bust them for 2 yards, or, you know, get a tackle for a loss here or there, and blow those plays up here and there, and force them into second and eight, and, you know, second and nine, second and seven, rather than, you know, second and three, second and six. If you can force them into the longer yardage situations, they're going to have to start throwing the football in order to succeed, and now they're playing on your terms. And I think that's the key to the game for the Florida State defense, is for their defensive tackles and for their linebackers to be able to win those matchups on the inside, and also, you know, Mario Edwards and the defensive ends to be able to set the edge a little bit, but to be able to win those matchups, to occupy the offensive line well enough to get into the backfield and make some plays on first down that are going to force them behind the sticks enough to throw into coverages, that into situations where Florida State wants them to throw into. That, I think, is the key on that side of the ball. Be interesting to see if that happens. You know, that and limiting big plays, I think, really are going to be telling on how successful Florida State is. Now, let's flip over to the offensive side. What do you see as the key? I mean, I've already given McFadden's key in terms of, you know, will Jimbo stick with the run? But what would your key be on the offensive side?
I mean, run the football. it's point blank. It's right there in our faces. If Oregon tries to come out and stop the run, Jameis Winston will pick that secondary apart without Ifo. I mean, they're not one of the best secondaries Florida State's faced this season. Florida State has faced one of the best slate of defenses in the country. I don't think that's up for debate. You know, you could argue the SEC, but the SEC defenses have been down for a while now. I don't want to hear that. If they come out and try to stop the run and sell out and try and stop the run, Winston will pick them apart. If they come out and they try to make Winston, you know, make mistakes and drop seven, Florida State will be able to run the football at, you know, 9 yards a clip. It's just the Florida State offense has just ton of advantages when it comes to this game. It's which one do you want to die by?
Yeah, and I think, you know, this is going to be the interesting thing. I mean, in talking to Randy Sanders out here, I think it's pretty obvious that the coaching staff is aware of these advantages and of the need to make sure that they run the football well and often in this game. But I think there's also a couple other interesting things, and, you know, he mentioned there. One of which is Oregon. You know, if you watch the tape, Oregon likes to stay even when you go spread personnel. Oregon likes to stay, if wherever possible, in their 3-4, their base 3-4, instead of subbing in nickel. And that may be even more the case now that Ifo Ekpraolomu is out, because without Ekpraolomu, they don't have as reliable of a third corner. So, you know, they may not want to go to their nickel packages as much, and they may want to stay big. But, that's been their tendency at different points, to stay big, to try to keep that front seven on the field so that they can stop the run with seven, and that they can keep the size on the field and use that size and length to try to limit what teams are doing in the running game that way, so that they can be conservative in the secondary and that they can try to disrupt passing lanes with length and, you know, using their size in the underneath zones and all that to try to disrupt what a team is doing in the passing game. Now, if they do that, it's going to be interesting to see a little bit of the chess game on what Florida State actually does against that big front. I think we'll see a lot of 11 personnel, one tight end, one running back from Florida State in this game. And it'll be interesting to see how they work that out, if Oregon decides to stay big to try to stop the run while not committing an eighth guy, say, or not necessarily bringing that guy over. Well, now they're going to end up having that, you know, if you've got, say, Rashad Greene in the slot, now the guy that's going to be lined up over Rashad Greene is going to be a 240-pound sort of defensive end outside linebacker hybrid, more of an outside linebacker in their scheme, you know, about 240 pounds, 250 pounds. Good luck with that. That'll be interesting. If they stay big, it's also, I think, another key here is looking at Dalvin Cook and Carlos Williams in the flat. Some of the most damage that they've taken on defense has been with teams that have been able to hurt them in the flat with some of these backs in the flat against those outside linebackers who couldn't run with them. So, you know, that's something I think we'll see a lot of. If they stay big, I think Florida State still needs at times to run downhill, run power, run inside zone straight at Balducci, let Cam Irving and those guys get to the second level and see if you can establish that and dictate to them that they're going to have to put an extra guy in the box to be able to stop the run. And then if they're staying big and they can do that, then you start hitting that flare route, that easy flare route to Carlos or to Dalvin Cook out in the flat, that easy flat route that then they're running away from that outside linebacker who's matched up with him, and that all of a sudden makes things very easy. Now, one other thing actually that, you know, we had previously recorded this podcast and had a technical problem that caused it to go awry. So this is our second time through. One thing that we mentioned in that we forgot to mention in this one that I can absolutely see happening on the other side of the ball is related to this. And that's that, you know, Oregon, they do such a great job scheming guys open downfield and on verticals and things. I already have visions in my head. Florida State fans should go ahead and be prepared to see early in the game Oregon find a way to formation Florida State into a call that's going to put one of their fast running backs, or, you know, maybe a slot receiver who's lined up in the backfield, you know, one of these guys in man-to-man coverage, or what turns into functionally man-to-man coverage, but get him matched up with DeMarcus Walker or Chris Casher or Mario Edwards dropping in coverage on a wheel route up the sideline. Let's just assume that's going to happen. It shouldn't happen. You know, it's insanely frustrating to watch it happen, but at the end of the day, it's bound to happen the way that this is going to go. We're going to see them find a way to release a guy from the backfield on a wheel route, getting chased by a 260 or 270, 280-pound guy who's somehow responsible for him in coverage. It's just bound to happen, unfortunately. The big key is that, you know, when that happens, Florida State needs to make sure that the safety comes over top and does his job. So let's just settle that's going to happen at some point. Anyway, can you tell I'm frustrated with this?
Yeah, but let's just go ahead. Let's go ahead and get it out of our system. There will be plenty of blaming Charles Kelly for this.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Charles Kelly problem, people.
Well, actually, in all honesty, they need to make sure that they can't get formationed into that kind of matchup in this game. I think that's actually something they need to avoid. They need to stay more vanilla and try not to do as much of dropping those ends in coverage. I think they just need to keep you know, DeMarcus Walker and Mario Edwards more as true ends and just let them set the edge and not worry about trying to bring somebody else and let that guy drop. I think they, you know, if they're going to bring somebody, you know, make the sacrifice to go middle of the field closed and bring up a safety for that extra matchup. I think that they're going to have to do that in this game. There's just too much speed potentially in the backfield to risk that matchup. But at any rate, I'm not sure that they're necessarily going to do that. But you know, these are the pitfalls of watching some of these things. But anyway, let's go ahead and move to the final segment where we can talk about our projections for the game. So what do you think we're going to see from each team in terms of yards per play and then final score? So what do you see happening?
I think that Florida State's going to end up with a 6.5 to 7 yards per play. I don't see the Oregon offense being able to stop the Oregon defense being able to stop the Florida State offense continually. Florida State's going to be able to run the football. They're going to be able to throw the football. I think Nick O'Leary's going to have a big day. I don't think there's anyone on the roster that's going to be able to stop him. And on the other side of the ball, I think Oregon is going to be held to what was their lowest yards play of the season, which is going to be 5.5 to 6. Now, that's still very good, and that's still going to score you a lot of points. But it's not going to be enough when it comes down to it. I have Florida State winning 41 to 34.
Yeah, we're pretty close in what we're thinking. I think Florida State's going to be, their defense is going to be able to get up a couple breaks. I think Florida State may surprise some people by coming out and basically playing even or even getting ahead early in this game. And then basically wearing, you know, ultimately just pulling away as this game continues. I think we'll see Florida State again. I think you're close to where I'm at in terms of yards per play. I think Florida State will give up somewhere around 6, which is, you know, more than they're used to giving up. It's a good number, but I think, you know, Oregon probably scores over 30 points. Which, you know, they're undefeated with Marcus Mariota as quarterback when they score over 30 points. Now, of course, Florida State is undefeated with Jameis Winston when they score 1 point. So, you know, there's always that. But you know, at any rate, I think we'll see them. You know, they'll score some points. They're going to put up some yards. They're going to have some receivers running downfield, and they'll certainly get that one wheel route matched up against the defensive end that is going to make everybody curse. But you know, that I think at the end of the day, Florida State's going to get enough tackles for loss, enough stops on first down to put them behind the sticks a few times. Mariota's fumbled the football a few times, and you know, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get the kind of pressure against him that may cause a couple turnovers. But I think they're going to be able to compress and make the field a little smaller against Oregon, and they'll be able to limit what they can do on the interior in the running game a little bit. And I think that's going to be the difference there on that side of the ball. I think they end up giving up about 6 yards per play defensively, like I said. But offensively, I think they end up with somewhere around 8 yards per play, which is obviously a very healthy number. I think they're going to be able to run and throw kind of as they please. I think people are going to be surprised by how efficient the Florida State offense looks with a very healthy and focused Jameis Winston and an offense that looks very, very good. So, I think ultimately Florida State wins this game and I think absent, you know, Florida State having a good number of turnovers in this game, I think Florida State wins this. I'll be surprised if they win by less than double figures. I feel very similarly about this game to how I felt about the Clemson game in 2013, where I'm watching the tape and a lot of people are picking Clemson and I'm going, you know, I just do not see it. I think Florida State has the matchup advantages, has the edge at most spots, more or less across the board. I'm a little surprised at, you know, how you know, people have felt like this game is not an even match or is an even matchup or even really favors Oregon. I just don't see that. I think Florida State averages right around 8 yards per play. I don't think Oregon holds Florida State under 40. So I think Florida State scores around 45. Oregon scores in the 31 range. I think people are going to be surprised. Florida State wins relatively comfortably. So I think that's that. So I think we can wrap with that. And on behalf of Trey McGahey and the rest of the Noel Digest crew, this is Jason Staples. This has been the Unconquered Podcast. As always, if you enjoy the show, please tell others about it. We'd love to have the company. Rate us on iTunes. Subscribe. This is Jason Staples. This is the Unconquered Podcast. We'll be with you after the new year talking the outcome of the Rose Bowl. Happy New Year, everybody.
I made this.